the time at precisely 9:30 a.m.
The finest in gourmet criticism and foodie delights. And the author of A History of Food in 100 Recipes. Quite clearly a question of quality personified. It's William Sitwell on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
He's back from Asia. How are you, William? How's it going?
Well, the nation can set its clock, nice. Can't it? 9:30.
Yeah.
It must be Thursday.
It's an essential part of the 168-hour week in which we exist as the world continues to revolve around the sun, I feel. So, looking at the photographs and indeed the comments, which had a young man called Andrew Lloyd saying it really makes him want to go there. It looks as though you had quite some time over in the Pacific Rim.
Yeah, it was good. It was. I turned up in Singapore, first of all, where it was raining. And it's funny, you can see the tire marks on the streets where they have the nighttime Singapore Grand Prix, which is quite fun. Anyway, I was staying near the marina, beautiful view of the city, which is built more recently, not kind of unlike the sort of buildings you get in Dubai. There's one building, I think it's called Marina Sands, which is, it's like a sort of giant slug, or rather like a sort of ship that's perched on three decks of cards. And you can go up there and look over the city. But Singapore's, you know, it's an amazing part of the world, amazing city, and full of all sorts of people from all around the world, and lots of good food. And then we nipped off to Bangkok for a couple of days, stayed at what I think is probably the most beautiful, luxurious hotel on the entire planet.
Surely you should have just
Mandarin,
had, you should have just had one night.
The Mandarin Oriental.
I should say, surely just one night there would have been efficient, but no, that's a chess moment there. It's all right.
Oh, right, sorry, yes, you're far cleverer than I am.
The moment has gone. It's okay. I shall withdraw that. And let's get back to promoting the hotel in Bangkok.
Well, funny enough, I went there on my honeymoon. And then I returned with my boss sort of, a decade later. And I did check myself in for a massage, and they tried to give me and my boss the same room. That was a bit weird.
And possibly just
to change that, and slightly awkward.
I was going to say, it is a slightly awkward moment. Ed Wellman, ever been in that sort of situation? You go off to Bangkok and suddenly your boss is there offering you a massage?
Well, not yet, no.
Who knows? Our current managing editor of Siren FM has just returned from Marrakesh. We don't know what he's been doing up there, but still, never mind. I know. Yikes, indeed.
I'll tell you one thing, though, Alex. What was odd was there we were last week in the sort of muggy, wet heat of Asia, and you walk into these amazing supermarkets, and they've still got the Christmas decorations up in there, and you've still got sort of Americanized, rather crass versions of Winter Wonderland and Jingle Bells, and it's quite surreal. And it's strange because you think here is a tradition who even us in Europe, living in cold climate, don't really understand, and it's then bastardized for global supermarkets around the world in order to sort of sell product. And you realize that, you know, if an alien arrived and turned up in a supermarket in Thailand and said, you know, why is there a tree covered in fake snow? Why are people pretending they live in a winter wonderland? I don't think anyone would actually be able to explain to them why. It's quite odd.
Well, you know, almost as odd as what is on your shelves like, as you were sort of saying, in terms of the food writer William Sitwell on his cookbook collection, The Happy Foodie. Food historian, writer, and Waitrose Kitchen editor William Sitwell gives us a grand tour of his incredible collection of cook and food books.
You should give your listener the link to that, actually. I wrote a little piece, and it's a rather nice website linked to a publisher, and they ask authors to talk about what's on their shelves. And
I've actually
shared
it, William. I'm sharing it now.
Amazing.
The happyfoodie.co.uk is duly shared. And Ed Wellman, who is responsible for aspects of the social media, together with Jeff Thompson, I think, for Siren FM, you might well sort of retweet and repackage and put things together as well, I'm sure.
That's a good thing to do this morning. I'm going to do just that.
Happy foodie, so we can actually find out what's on William's shelves, which could be a
I can come by next week and you can give me a sort of psychiatric analysis of what you think. Well, what is on my shelves and what it says about what you think is in my head.
It's like the first Disney movie you ever encountered. What sort of message does that send out? Mine was Jungle Book. I still think there's a line to that whole perspective, but still, bare necessities. And next week, of course, William, as you rightly allude to, it's the first in a series that we're running in the general build-up to the major event in Lincolnshire for June 2014. It's the Lincolnshire Show. So we'll hopefully have a couple of folk from the Lincolnshire Show in the studio with us. At least they'll certainly be with us between 8 and 9. Whether they stick around for yourself, I'm sure they will, William. It's just, you just don't know with the media these days. You might have all sorts of lines to go through. But that's exciting. You know, and in fact, we should do a similar thing with your Northampton show. I think we
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely should. And, you know, we launched it. Well, we relaunched a horticulture and flower show as a food show last year because we realised that some of the old folk aren't as nimble as they used to be. Yeah. Some of them aren't even around. And so the long vegetables and the art of growing carrots up drain pipes is being lost, but people do seem to engage more on food, especially the younger generation. So you can bang on about your show and I'll bang on about mine. We'll have a kind of show off.
You know, let's as we move from promoting, you know, the foodie guides through to Asia, through to hotels in Bangkok, do we have the dates for the Northampton show to hand?
It's always the first Saturday in September.
First Saturday in September, right.
Yeah, and we will have a legendary foodie opening it. I'm not sure who that is yet. And I know that I wake up in the middle of the night and I have these nightmares that I haven't yet asked anybody.
Things will manifest in their own wondrous way. That's the important thing.
We've had amazing people over the years. We had Dame Edna Everidge on two occasions. Mm-hmm. We've had Aldo Zilli, Rose Prince, Matthew Fort. You know, some good well-known foodies.
I'm thinking as we're looking around the same time as the Blander of a Burley Horse Trials between the 4th and 7th of September, I think we will be looking to access that. I think we will. What do you think, Ed? Should we add that to the list of events must cover?
It'll be the 6th of September.
6th of September. There we are. Sorted. So, Ed, last two questions for William Sitwell, please.
William, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
I have, and I just want to apologise to you and your listener for... I did plan on making this... date last week.
I know, we tried.
I was having a swim.
Do you know what? I had a swim yesterday for the first time in 15 years. It was fab.
Yeah, well, I had a swim during my spot on your show, and I apologise to the listener.
Next time, we will link to you in the pool. Steady. Somehow.
Massage, maybe.
I think it's getting a bit awkward now, Ed. I think that's the next question.
Shall we just move on here? Yeah. Can we look forward to connecting with you wherever you might be next week?
I think so, yeah. I think we'll stay in. I'll stay in the UK just for you guys.
So when you see a poster which says Mother Goose, starring the staff of BBC Radio Humberside and BBC Look North, on Thursday the 16th of January at 7:30pm at the Parkway Cinema in Cleethorpes, you're obviously going to be, well, overexcited, aren't you, Ed? I mean, almost, if such a thing is possible. You
know, I can feel the excitement from Cleethorpes from here.
When that then goes on to the Middleton Hall in Hull on Saturday the 18th and Sunday the 19th of January, it just gets even more fantastic in terms of this. And it's raising money for children in need. And, this is the big brood moment, it features the legend that is Drive Time, BBC Humberside's very own. He's made it his niche in the same way as he did for so many years on Breakfast. Of course, we're speaking of the true legend that is...
Andy Comfort.
Andy Comfort! Welcome back, Andy. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you, yes.
We try to build it up slightly, just to sort of work
just
away.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Just more for that. Now, I mean, on the serious thing, this was something that... When you invited me to join you on the Drive Time show last Friday to comment about various tweets, misuse of tweets and various other factors and so on. Hopefully you were happy with what I delivered. You know, I was listening, obviously, to your commitment to the pantomime. This is nothing new for your good self because you have become a regular in terms of pantomime circuits.
That's right, yes. I've taken part in every single one of the BBC pantomimes we've done now, along with Judy Murden. The two of us are the only two cast members have been there for every single one, but by and large, actually, most of the cast have been in most of them. And it started off 13 years ago now, as a one-off. It was an idea to raise some money, really, and it was just an idea to raise some money for the radio station appeal, and we did it as a one-off panto, and then we thought the next year, well, it was quite good, should we do it again? And here we are. Now, I think I'm right in saying our 13th year of doing the pantomime.
And I'm thinking to myself, really, this is probably ideally positioned in many ways because it's not pre-Christmas, it's post-Christmas. However, I now understand, Andy, why Monday becomes officially the nation's most miserable day, because obviously there's no pantomime on Monday. It's sort of, once you've done Saturday, Sunday and tonight, you have to wait until 2015 for the next BBC Humberside Look North pantomime.
Yeah, well, I mean, it might be the nation's most miserable day, but I'm actually quite looking forward to it. It means it'll be over for another year. We like doing it, but there's always that relief when you get to spend an evening at home and put your feet up and think, wow, that's good. But we used to do it before Christmas, in fact. We used to, in the early days when we started in the pantomime, we did a run before Christmas. It proved so popular, we then decided to do some repeats. So we did the repeats in January. Mm. And then just over the last few years, it was decided that actually people have a lot of commitments running up to Christmas. It's a busy time for the radio station and Look North as well, getting the Christmas schedule ready. So actually, we would just concentrate on the January shows, and people need a bit of a lift in January, I think, after Christmas and New Year's out of the way. So the last few years, we've just concentrated on these January shows, as you say, one in Cleethorpes this evening, then four shows in Hull at the weekend.
And that's the reason Andy Comfort goes above and beyond all other sort of radio presenters in working through that. You might be joining us on what, according to the Radio Academy, is indeed the East Midlands Radio Station of the Year. That would be Siren 107.3 FM.
Hey.
But, yeah, exactly. You know, we're delighted that, you know, we could share. It's like a joining of geniuses across the base. Ed, questions from yourself.
Yeah, I would like to ask Andy whether you can divulge any information, Andy, about what you might be wearing. What's your costume like? And are there any top gags that you can share with us at this time of the morning, of course?
There you are.
let me think. Costume-wise, it's very dark because I'm the Demon King.
All right.
It's a very dark costume. I have one of these three-pointed hats. I've got a very, very sort of dark cloak that I can...
See, once again, you're describing the kind of fetish wear that Christine Dexter probably sort of takes as a matter of course, really. You know, it's okay, you know.
Where do you think I got it from?
There you go.
These very baggy sort of pantaloon-type trousers as well that I wear under my cape, and then a different sort of sparkly costume for the finale, as is traditional in pantomime. As for jokes, well, I mean, there are some very good and funny lines. I mean, there's some daft stuff, slapstick stuff, and so forth. I'm trying to think of a good.
It's the visualisation that works so well on radio. It's fantastic. You know, that's great.
I mean, you know, I was sitting on train yesterday, actually, going to London for the day, and I'm desperately trying to make sure I knew my lines. So now my mind's suddenly gone blank. When you
yeah. so you're all you're pretty
there's
ready.
There's a few hours yet to go, Andy. You know,
yeah,
before
yeah,
curtain
yeah.
up.
I mean, well, I know. You see, the annoying thing is, you tend to know other people's lines sometimes. So you
yes.
know, I'm on stage a lot with the good fairy Judy, and I'll look at her and think, I know your next three lines, and I think, heck, what's my line after that then? And I'm rattling my my brains while she's delivering her line, thinking, I do know it, it's coming to me. But I have played this part before, actually, some years ago, because I think we've been through all the pantomimes now, so we're sort of recycling them. So we did Mother Goose quite some years ago, and it's coming back to me, actually, and I thought it would be harder to learn the lines, but I have learned these pretty well. So
it's a bit, presumably, like Handel's Messiah in many ways. You know, it's a classic that you want to kind of just riff on every so often and provide a development of the whole thing.
I'm sure Mark Fairweather and John Park would be delighted that
yes.
you compared their writing skills to Handel's Messiah.
I thought so. You know, it's important to develop that. Now, on a serious note, obviously it's raising money for children in need. Just share with us the total that we're pretty close, and you guys have actually been pretty close to actually raising over the last few years.
We hope that this time round we will break through the £100,000 barrier that we've raised over the years. Thank you very much.
100,000 English pounds.
Yeah, right. Isn't it? I
mean, eat that, BBC Lincolnshire. Oh, sorry, I realise it's just one BBC, but there we are.
That's the by.
Well, we got Charlie Partridge coming in to be a guest speaker in a few weeks' time, and, you know, we like to be a neutral sort of balance on the whole thing.
Yeah, well, hopefully Charlie might find time to come and see the panto, and I think he's been in the past, but, I mean, yeah, £100,000, we're delighted with that, and obviously thank you to everybody who's come and raised money, and we've raised money in the raffle on the night as well. And I can say that tonight's show in Cleethorpes has sold more tickets than any other show we've done in Cleethorpes. I mean, traditionally, the whole shows are the ones that sell the best for us. I think we have people come from all far and wide. I mean, they come over the bridge to the whole whole shows, actually. And we get quite a lot of people from North Lincolnshire coming to the whole shows, and from the East Riding and beyond, and obviously from Hull itself. Yeah. So we've sold out our two matinees in Hull, 2 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday afternoon. I hope we're close to selling out the evening shows. I think there are a few tickets left, so people can get the tickets. But there are some tickets left for tonight in Cleethorpes, but we've sold more tickets for tonight in Cleethorpes than we have for any other show in Cleethorpes before, so that's great news.
Well, in fact, not only have I actually shared William Sitwell's piece, I've now also, via the magic of Facebook and that social networking, actually shared the poster for the BBC Humberside and Look North Mother Goose pantomime. So we're just doing our little bit, in the sort of system to actually work through that. Ed, last two questions for Andy Comfort, please.
Well, Andy, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us?
Have we helped get the motivation?
107.3 this morning.
We helped get that motivation running.
Has it been good for you, Andy?
Exactly.
It's certainly been good for me. I hope it's been good for you and people listening. I have enjoyed it, as always.
And marvellous. Can we look forward to connect with you again in the near future?
Yeah. You certainly can. Always happy to help.
There we are, you see. And of course, traditionally it used to be the Wednesday midweek drive show. Yeah. Of course, now slightly competition. I like to say complimentary in many ways. Yeah, that's what podcasts and iPlayers are for. Play it again, one or either. But you see, obviously in the morning edition, that's a different line entirely. Initially you thought, was it going to be a period quote? No. Tickets, as you just heard, possibly just about available for the last routine of the must-see pantomime of January 2014, Mother Goose, featuring, as you heard, Andy Comfort and Judy. And have you name checked some of the rest of the cast, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the favourites, Carl Wheatley and Jonathan Parker, who are just great together on stage, very funny, really work well together. Carl from Our Breakfast Show, John Parker from EastEnders. Sally Fairfax reads the news on Breakfast. She makes a great principal boy. You might notice something interesting about the principal boy if you look very carefully.
Yeah, well, you see, Sally Fairfax has always had interesting thighs, so I've heard. But you know,
well,
that's
I don't want to spoil it for the kids. But
of course not.
There you go. And also, we've got, of course, mentioned Judy Murden. We've got Phil Squire from BBC Look North. Used to be from Radio Humberside. He's one of my sidekicks. So is Caroline Bilson from BBC Look North as well, and some great dances, some good songs. It's very colourful. Looking forward to it.
You and me, we were the pretenders. We let it all slip away. In the end, what you don't surrender, well, the world just strips away. Girl, ain't no kindness in the face of strangers. We ain't gonna find no miracles here. Well, you can wait on your blessings, my darling. I got a deal for you.